Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network.
Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
All right.
This is the Doug Gottlieb Show. Here's In the Bonus with Doug Gottlieb.
Woo! What up, Doug Gottlieb? In the Bonus, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio. This is the pod-only version. We got a lot to get to. Jared Smith, lead betting analyst for PicksWise, is going to join us. I'm going to ask him about the Heisman Trophy. Does anybody actually care anymore? Isn't that weird? Like, it used to be the biggest thing. Now we only care when they announce the finalists because we know who's going to win it. And that's a little strange. You'll hear from LeVar Arrington, from Dan Patrick, and from Colin Cowherd. We'll get you ready for tonight's Rams-Raiders game, the true battle for L.A., which the Raiders, they might win, and then, you know, here they are. They're a big favorite. And be in the driver's seat. I got something for you on Baker, which I'll get to in a moment. But first, let me get to the story of the day. That's Brittany Griner has been released from a Russian prison in exchange for Victor Bout, who's the merchant of death. Now, I am not in any way trying to minimize the fact that this is a Russian arms dealer. But I am trying to bring some levity to this because all of a sudden what happens with Twitter is it goes from we have a group of immunologists and what else? Sociologists and experts on race to now, apparently, in terms of our political dealings, I had no idea that so many were so talented, so qualified, that now that we're out of the World Cup, many sports writers and sports fans are experts on our foreign policy in terms of bringing our citizens home. Did you guys know that? Oh, we gave up way too much. Had any of you, honestly, I had heard that we had a Russian arms dealer. I didn't know we had him until there was talk of the trade. But this is like a guy in your farm system. You're like, wait, we had him in our farm system this whole time? And the whole thing's fascinating to me. It's interesting to me. I had no idea. Have you guys seen the picture of Victor Bout? I'll describe it to you. Victor Bout is in his mid-50s. He has a slightly thinning, light brown hair, like kind of an auburn brown hair. He's the picture that I've seen. He's wearing a some sort of foreign sweatsuit, and he's got a mustache. I can't tell you how many casting directors there are in Hollywood going like, damn, we nailed it. He looks exactly like Central Casting would say he looks. Plus, can we give him a little credit or whoever can? The Merchant of Death is a great nickname. That's a really good nickname. And people call me Gino. What do they call you? They call me Axeman. What do they call you? They call me the Merchant of Death. Ooh, that's a good one. Right? I don't know if you guys have seen this, but Kevin Durant is now finally embracing the, Slim Reaper? He's now finally embracing the Slim Reaper? Because early when the Slim Reaper came out, he's like, nah, I'm not the Slim Reaper. Like, okay. Now he's like, what do they call you? Slim Reaper. And then he said, because I do my work at night. Like, yeah, that's not actually what the Slim, never mind. Merchant of Death, that is Slim Reaper category of great nicknames, right? And I have no idea what we could or could not have gotten for this Victor Bout character and that we brought Brittany Griner home. I'll only point out that I didn't know that they had a Marine for like a decade. Did you guys know they had a Marine for a decade? If anything, like this kind of brings up the, we hadn't brought him home? He got caught espionage, like spying. Seems like a little bit more punishable in terms of, you know, you compare that with she had some weed. What'd she have? She had some weed oil. I don't know. What does the weed oil do, Jay Stewie? You're my closet weed expert.
Yeah. Considering I've never once touched it, I'm guessing it was some kind of CBD vape thing. Or
I don't think it was CBD. She wouldn't. I mean, can you imagine her being in jail? She's like, it's CBD. It's not even THC.
Yeah, well, whatever. Yeah. It was in a kind of a vape form, if I recall.
Yes.
Like an oil in a vape form. Yeah.
It's an oil that you burn off and then you inhale it and ingest it. And I think the reason you bring it is it doesn't smell like when it's being, like if you had like weed, you had flour, you'd smell that sucker a mile away, right? The dogs are going crazy. The dog's like, give me some of that weed. That's actually what I think dogs say when they smell weed. Right? They're not trying to alert their handlers. They're like excited because they're like, dude, cocaine. Yes, I love this stuff. Kidding. These are jokes. I don't know how they're going over. But I think what it is, again, this is through process of Jugal, which is, I believe, you like, it's like an incense sort of thing, only you smell it and you get a little high and it's easy to transport. But there's a little difference in the level of crime between espionage and that, right? I mean, okay, the other two stories today. By the way, Dan Snyder, had we offered up Dan Snyder in a trade? What would that have brought back? And as much as you go like, hey, nobody wants Dan Snyder, we don't want Dan Snyder, I would generally agree. He is a multi-billionaire. So maybe Putin's guys are like, look, man, we hold on to this guy, ransom, we'll get a bunch of money out of it. How did we not think of that? So the newest story in covering the Washington Commanders, used to be the football team, used to be the Redskins, who are still at least this point in time, owned by Dan Snyder, is according to a final report by the U.S. House of Representatives Committee on Oversight and Reform, which, by the way, this is always funny to me. Every time there's one of these reports that are ordered, any sort of investigation from Congress, what do you normally get? Are you kidding me? We're wasting our money on some sports story? Unless it's an asshole that people don't like. Then not one person has said, why is Congress investigating Dan Snyder's practices as owner of a football team that's changed names twice in the last 4 years? Why is that? Have you guys noticed that? Again, not one of these people who normally will, and on the, it's not a side of the aisle, normally will go like, why are we wasting money on this? It's different because it's Dan Snyder, because nobody likes Dan Snyder apparently. So, you know, not so shocking. The report says he basically allowed this sort of illicit behavior to go on. The smoking gun, or the part that brings everybody's attention, is that the NFL did nothing about it. Nothing about it. There's several layers to it. One, I'm going to be honest, I haven't read the report. Two, also being honest, not going to read the report. I'll read some excerpts. Does anybody care enough to read like a 50-page report? Like, no. No, I think the last time I wrote my final report in college, I made it to myself like, I'm not doing any sort of reports ever again. So I have this, I mean, like my last contract I signed, it took me like 4 days. It was only like 3 pages long to read every detail of it, because every time I got like through 3 sentences, like I promised myself I wouldn't read shit like this anymore. And here I am reading it. They're like, no, but it's your life and you didn't read the contracts previously you signed. Anyway. So first thing is, I find it hilarious that so many people on TV who get righteous about our spending with Congress had nothing bad to say about this report, which says Dan Snyder's an asshole. Right. And he used to foster an environment of like sophomoric behavior. Got it. It's creepy. It's bad. It was in some corporations, corporate culture. And I think that this snapshot, if you went back and looked now, would look far different with the Commanders, with his wife running it, and with the fact that they got rid of all those people. That said, the most interesting part remains that he had private investigators for other owners to get dirt on other owners so they couldn't come after him, which of course leads you to believe that's why the league hadn't come after him for years, because he's got dirt on everybody. So I guess the question is, and this is a real question for you, Jay Stu, do we think he's the worst dude in the world, or is he just super fucking smart? And that's what pisses people off. Because here's the thing. Like, again, I'm not saying it's ever okay to mistreat a woman or to make women feel like sexual objects in the workplace. There's a deeper discussion with single people and the fact that people do meet people where they work. And there is a kind of natural, hey, saw you in the building, want to know if you want to get dinner. That's not sexual harassment sort of thing. But some of this stuff, like, you know, the pictures of the cheerleaders and all that creepy shit, like that's got to go. But protecting yourself by getting dirt on all these other owners, I don't know. There's a certain level of respect I got for the guy. Like, you're a bad guy, but you're like, I'm not the only bad guy. I'm going to get dirt on all these bad guys. What do you think, Jay Stu?
First of all, I've worked with a really bad guy who he was one of those silent types that was just taking in information to use against you at another time. Like, he would like hoard information to at some point sabotage you and your career. There's a special place in hell for people like that.
Yes.
And
yeah, because those, we all have those moments. And again, I'm not telling you this to cover up any of the shit that I've done. Actually, I kind of am. It's like, I mean, it's the old treat others as you would want to be treated. We all have bad moments. Wouldn't you like somebody who, you know, works hard with you to just go like, you know, like, I know this thing, but I'm just going to delete it from my memory. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. So this really kind of touches a sensitive spot for me. He is a bad guy, and he did his best to dig up dirt on his, on the other owners in the league. But to answer your question, I do think that Congress and the government takes offense to and gets really pissed off when you obstruct their ability to investigate you, to get answers. And I know that you've said that he's been found guilty of participating in this toxic culture, but they also say very close to the headline that he obstructed their means to get information. And in doing so, the NFL as well obstructed that. I think that's the maybe the bigger part of this. When you get into obstructing stuff, then there might be legal recourse.
Okay, but let me
So he's a bad guy.
He is a bad guy, but let me hop in with the potential things that could be going on here, right? This is, again, why I love the podcast, because we just don't have time for this level of conversation normally. What if, again, and please don't anybody be a douche and say, Gottlieb's defending Dan Snyder. No, I'm not. I'm not defending the NFL. But What if the NFL said, hey, we want to know about all of his PIs that he hired and what they found. And the NFL goes like, well, that's not important. We're not divulging those details of what's out there. And like, well, yeah, that's part of our investigation is we need to be thorough. We need to turn over the rock. Like, yeah, we're not doing that. That's obstruction. That's obstruction. You know? So like, what is obstruction? Obstruction is, you know, is it telling people to get their story straight? Or is it, hey, man, tell them all you know, what you know. Well, you talk to the witness before we talk to them. So I don't know what the level of obstruction is. Without details, this brings me to the, do you remember the story of Dez Bryant when he met with, I think it was Jeff Ireland was the GM of the Miami Dolphins? You guys can look this story up. But the story goes that Jeff Ireland asked Dez Bryant if his mom was a prostitute, and Dez Bryant got very upset about it, right? Do you guys remember? Do you, anybody remember the story?
Okay. Yeah, I remember parts of it.
Okay. Later, the details of the story came out where they're in an interview at the Dolphins facility when he was being drafted, and Jeff Ireland said, what's your dad do? My dad's a pimp. That was the response from Dez Bryant. What's your mom do? My mom works for my dad. Okay. So, I mean, in terms of people that work for a pimp, I don't know if they have anybody who has administrative qualities, right, and is a secretary of some sort, or you're a prostitute. So Jeff Ireland followed up with the, is your mom a prostitute? Right, what do you got, Matt? But it's actually a more natural kind of question there, which is like, my dad's a pimp. What's your mom do? He works for my mom. Is your mom a prostitute? So what I'm saying is context does matter. Because if you just said, asked, hey, yes, my mom's a prostitute, you're like, whoa, what the fuck? Right? But then in the series of questions, you're like, oh, that kind of makes sense. Got to make sense. Which, by the way, Dez Bryant never answered whether or not his mom was a prostitute. I don't know. Or why he said his mom works for his dad or what that actually entailed. Anyway. Okay, but he's a bad guy. But do we tip our cap at all for protecting himself with the baggage that others have? Like, I would love to know what he has on some of these guys.
Yeah, I think those are two different things. You and I both wanting to know the dirt for the salaciousness of it is one thing, but him going out of his way to gather information to sabotage people that he's in business with, I mean, that's a dirty move. I'm not saying that it hasn't been done or that other owners aren't doing it, but there's something really greasy about that.
Oh, there's no question. Like, when all the other owners are like, yeah. And now once all this stuff comes out and they're kind of throwing them to the wolves, it's pretty obvious that they're willing to withstand whatever else. I mean, there lies the question of the Jerry Jones picture. Is that the kind of thing he has in a dossier? Ramos, would there be anything on you in a dossier? I don't think so.
That's a good question. I'm sure that... I'm sure if we go back to
Ramos,
the college...
Why are you clearing out your search engine? What is that about?
Sure, if we go back to the old college days, Doug, there may be some skeletons back there, but we're okay now, I think.
All right, fair enough.
This guy's he's such a straight shooter and, you know, a clean, good man. You know, just the other day, he's like, hey, why do I have to worry about my hair? Or why do I have to worry about balding? The woman that I love loves me. Why should I care? And I said, I get that's great. It's amazing that you can put yourself in that position, John, but most people are much more vain than that.
Yeah, there's no need, Doug, to put anything to make my hair look any better since it, at this point, really doesn't matter. Right?
This is actually a great topic, okay? Because we read stuff for Bosley. And my kids, like, you know, I had like this little light spot in the crown of my, is that crown of my hair, top of the hair, right? Crown of my hair. And it's lighter and I don't think it's much worse, but it's obviously not, doesn't get better, you know, without like some sort of treatment. And then the power alleys. First, I always, this is the assholes on social media about somebody's hair. Like, what do you want me to do about it? You know, I mean, obviously there's things that can be done about it, but like, that's not an opinion. It's not, it's just, this is my hair, it's genetics, testosterone. I don't know what I guess it maybe it that makes you feel better. And I'm not crazy self-conscious about it. What I am is I just want somebody to advise me. Like, I don't know what it would look like if I shaved my head. Like, in my heart of hearts, I wish I could do the Bruce Willis thing. Yeah. Right? Just shave your head, you know, grow a scruff and look like a fucking badass. But, like, LeBron won't shave his head, and I don't know why. He got the surgery, and it just doesn't hasn't taken. Everybody says Tom Brady got the surgery, right? Because he was getting he was getting power alleys years ago, and Wes Welker obviously got the surgery, but did it publicly, or whatever. Like, if you get the surgery, can you shave your hair? Or should you just do people actually in the real world care?
And also, your career is a lot different than my career, right? I mean, you actually, not that people on television have to have a full head of hair. However,
it looks better.
Yeah. I mean, you have a purpose of why that might be a necessity, whereas I don't. So it's two different thought patterns.
I guess. I think there's just something to losing your hair that sucks.
That sucks. I agree with that part of it.
It just sucks. But I would also say that, like, mine wasn't, you know, any sort of hair loss I've had has been, it does feel like it's been slowly incremental. Whereas, you know, you see stuff where, and like, there's guys that go bald in college and they're like pulling out clumps of hair. You're like, dude, that's got to suck. That's got to suck. Okay, so that's the question, Jay Stu. At what point in time do you decide I'm going to shave my head? Do you shave your head first to see how it looks? And then if it looks bad, then you go and do like a Bosley and get, or do you like, what do you do?
Yeah. I mean, personally, I can never shave my head. That's for personal reasons.
Why?
Oh man, you don't want to see what's under my hair. You don't want to see what's on my scalp. But that's a conversation for another time. Now,
this is the perfect time for it. What's on your scalp?
But if I was somebody who was in a position where they had a nice, good-looking scalp, I would try the bald for a while, see how that goes.
The problem is that once you go bald, once you shave it bald, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm going to get the surgery, then it's, you know. And the other problem with the surgery is it does feel like no matter how good a job they do, you're going to be able to tell. Right? I don't know.
I have a good friend of mine is like the hair hawk. He'll be like, hey man, you see that guy's plugs? Like, I don't notice that stuff. Personally, I don't. I don't have a discerning eye for it. But yeah, he's always noticing the plugs and he always points it out.
Well, plugs are one thing, right? Now, is that what we consider what they do?
I don't know. Implants or plugs, whatever they're calling it. He seems to have a discerning eye for it.
I do think that things that were done 15, 20 years ago, I'll say this, never go with the hairpiece. Like, I don't understand that one at all.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. Although Burt Reynolds rocked it for years and he never seemed to have any trouble with the ladies, right?
Hasn't he been bald for a long time? And he's been wearing something since Cheers, right?
I don't think he's bald. I think his hair was white.
No. I think he was bald.
I think what they had was something where, kind of like what Doug was saying, I think he had like a little bit just to cover the top, the back, like what you have.
Oh, not, just a little.
Like a little.
My kids call it a yarmulke.
Yeah, like an extension to kind of just cover the middle part, but everything else is fine.
My kids are mean, dude. My kids are mean.
Yarmulke.
Dad, you got a yarmulke going here. They're like, hey, man, it's not that bad. Like, yeah, it's not great. Like, come on, like, give me a little love there. Okay, you want me to lie to you? I lie to you about your hair all the time.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Let's welcome in Jared Smith, PicksWise lead betting analyst, co-host of Fox Sports Radio's new Countdown to Kickoff show with Rich Hornberger and Brian Ngo. Airs each Saturday between 9 and noon Eastern time. Listen live on any of our Fox Sports Radio affiliates or the iHeartRadio app presented by BetMGM. Jared, let's start with the Heisman Trophy. Caleb Williams is the favorite. Is there money to be made betting on the Heisman Trophy?
No, I think at this stage, the market seems to sniff out who's going to be the winner, and all of the value, so to say, has kind of been extracted. I mean, it was obviously not the way Caleb Williams wanted the season to end, but I think the fact that he was such a heavy favorite even coming out of that loss tells me that there was really no change. So if you bet Caleb early, and Rich Hornberger gave it out on our show, I want to say kind of week 8, week 9, week 10-ish that time when he was around 10, 15 to 1 because of what USC had down the stretch and how good he's been. So it's definitely been an exciting year for him, but obviously not the way he would have wanted
it. Yep. Honestly, that was the exact same timing that I had, said the exact same thing. Rich and I are lockstep in it. Hopefully people made some money then. Really hard to make it now. Let's get to the national semifinals and the lines. And, you know, I think you tell me if I'm wrong. It feels like we're still at a time which you might be able to make some money, although you don't totally know about health of some of these players. Let's start with Georgia taking on Ohio State. Ohio State has the talent to match up with Georgia. We'll see if they can play with Georgia. What do you think of the numbers so far?
Yeah, this one's been relatively flat. You know, all the movement has kind of been on in the other game. And I do think it's a very interesting, because it's like a second life for Ohio State. So we'll see, you know, if they play with the same energy level and with the same effort that they played with against Michigan, they're going to get absolutely stomped in this game. Because if you think Michigan's offense was throwing it up and down with J.J. McCarthy, just wait to what you see with Stetson Bennett. And I was surprised to see Stetson make it to the Heisman podium. I thought Blake Corum or Hendon Hooker maybe deserved some of the recognition, but clearly the Heisman committee feels very favorably about the season, and maybe it's kind of a lifetime achievement award, right, for Stetson, because he's been so consistent over the last few years.
And he spent a lifetime in college.
Basically, I was waiting for them to get another year of eligibility somewhere, right? Like, find one in some dark corner of a loophole somewhere. But yeah, it's basically, I want to say it's a lifetime achievement award, just sending him to the podium. But listen, Todd Monken's scheme, they are very decisive and very efficient. And you saw it against LSU, right? Like, Georgia was coming off of of a couple of tough games, and we thought their motivation would be there because they really wanted this game, and you saw it right out of the gate. I mean, they were blocking field goals, and Stetson was throwing it all over the yard to receivers that don't have that explosion that maybe some of the other teams in the SEC do, but it's the scheme getting guys open. They've got maybe the two best tight end duo with Washington and Bowers. So there's a lot around Stetson, and Todd's got a great scheme, so they make it look really good. Can Ohio State handle that? They couldn't handle it with Michigan, and J.J. McCarthy does not have that. So that's what concerns me there. It's not Georgia's defense. I think C.J. Stroud will play a lot better than he did in that game against Michigan. You know, you get the fast track indoors, but I do think it's Georgia's offense that's been the story all year, and I think that's where this handicap starts and ends.
Okay, let's get to the other game where you said there was a lot more movement. Michigan, who doesn't have Blake Corum, he's out for the year with a knee injury, is going to take on TCU, coming off an exciting overtime loss in the Big 12 championship game. Where'd the numbers start? Where are they now?
Yeah, so it opened at around 9, 9.5, and since then it's been kind of one-way traffic on TCU, and it kind of goes against what we're used to, right, Doug? Like, we're used to talking about Kansas State being almost the favorite and closing as a favorite in the Big 12 championship game against an undefeated TCU team, and it's been kind of the calling card of the Horned Frogs all year, respected by few in the market, but on game day, they earn a lot of that respect. I think Max Duggan, I mean, I think he single-handedly dragged the Horned Frogs into the college football playoff with that final drive. And I'm glad the committee went the way that it did. I think TCU deserves to be in, and I think this is going to be a fascinating game because I don't know if Michigan can repeat that success offensively that they had against Ohio State. And yeah, now we're kind of in that no man's land, right? The first move tends to be the sharpest in these long wait games. We have almost a full month until this game is going to be played, basically 3 weeks. So the first move down on TCU, now down to 9, you know, 8.5, 8, now 7.5. My guess is we stay here for a while, barring some kind of, you know, massive injury bomb that gets dropped into the market. My guess is we're going to be at 7.5 probably until game week, maybe 24 to 40 hours before. And then that final move might be the most telling in terms of where the sharp money really feels the position is. I kind of like TCU. I love this story. I was sour on them early in the year because I'm a market guy, but they've even warmed up my heart, Doug. And maybe that tells me that I'm probably looking at it with two rose-colored glasses. But I do like this story, and I think they've got some toughness that maybe Michigan doesn't quite have when they're not getting up fully. And they were up for Ohio State. Can they bring that level of intensity, especially on offense? Can they outscore what's been a very, you know, explosive and very timely TCU offense this year?
Okay, last one. It's going to be a weird bowl season. You know, a long time ago, I had a friend say, just always bet the over. But it's hard, right? Because you don't know who's playing. Yeah. You don't know who's motivated. Is there a bowl game line that jumps out to you that you're like, hey, everything's really difficult this time of year with all the opt-outs and coaching changes and whatever, but this is one I feel good about?
I mean, if you miss the move, it doesn't have as much value as it did a few days ago, but the perfect example of why this process is more difficult, it may be more difficult, it's definitely different than my process during the regular season because there's less analytics and more situational handicapping involved. But Oregon State has moved a ton. It's all the way up to 11 now, and they're facing Florida. It's the Las Vegas Bowl out here in Sin City, so of course Florida is just basically jettisoning half of their team. I saw 6 starters already entering the portal. Anthony Richardson, too, opting out to the NFL. So it's been kind of a weird year, right, for this Florida team. They had some impressive win, the win week one, but then things kind of tailed off down the stretch, and they've just been so inefficient. Meanwhile, Oregon State's going to be really physical in this game. They're going to run the ball. That's where Florida really struggles. So I can see that one getting out of hand because if you're not bringing your A effort to these games, and the transfer portal is becoming a huge factor. I mean, 1 out of every 10 kids is in the transfer portal right now. So that is something I've never had to deal with before, handicapping these games. That will become a very prominent role this year. And then the motivational factor plays so much more into it compared to the situation, compared to the analytics. The numbers and you know, that scheme doesn't matter as much as who's up for these games. And I think Oregon State's going to be really up for this game. I don't think Florida will.
Jared Smith, great stuff. Check him out on Fox Sports Radio's Countdown to Kickoff with Rich Hornberger, Brian Noe, every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time. Listen live at foxsportsradio.com, the Fox Sports Radio affiliates. Last one, Army, Navy. There is still big-time football to be played. What does, like, Army, Navy, I can't sit here and parachute in, but Navy is down this year, right?
A little bit. Yeah, and I'll be honest, this is a game, this is one of those games where I'm okay not betting it, frankly. If you want the soup du jour, it's been the under. We haven't had an over in this game since 2005. I was in college, but what were you doing in 2005, Doug? I mean, it's been a while since we've had an over.
I'm going to sell myself out. So, I was in my third year of doing radio and television. So, yeah, it's been a while.
2005 is the last time we've seen significant points in this game. Yeah. And it's like deflation, right? We're at 32.5 with the total here. If someone sneezes, this game's going to go over. But the Service Academy games, both of them gone under this year, Army and Navy, both against Air Force, 23 combined points, 20 combined points. So even though the totals have been insanely low in these games, you're going to see triple option offenses left, right, and center. Navy's actually won two games this year without completing a pass, one of them last week against UCF. So if you like offense and air raid and, you know, all that fun stuff, this is not the game for you. But if you like pageantry and nostalgia, this is the game for you. And I think that's where, to me, this one really comes to a head. I love this game. I've never attended it. I hope I get to one day. But obviously, low total and Navy's a little down. But either team will be game. Either team will be up for this one. It's just a matter of who gets the right bounce.
Jared Smith, check him out on Fox Sports Radio, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time. It's presented by BetMGM. Jared, thanks so much for joining us.
Appreciate it, Doug.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Let's get to what the Fox said.
And now.
What's up, the Fox?
Here's LeVar Arrington talking about critics of Deion Sanders choosing Colorado after leaving Jackson State.
For all those people that's calling him a sellout, kick a nice big boulder with no shoe on. And I hope you break your toe. And I hope you rip a toenail off and you need assistance with your toe. And that they would perform a medical act on your toe. Nobody cared nothing about Jackson State before Deion went there. Deion went and applied, wanted the Florida State job. If people recall,
yeah,
he wanted the Florida State job. They said he wasn't ready for it. Like, it was too big of a gig for him. So he went in a different direction to show that he could run and build a college football program. There is a whole lot of opportunities, a whole lot of options that Deion had in terms of where he could have coached at the next level, and he chose to go to Jackson State. That man came into to a school and brought his fame, brought his resources, and made a school relevant. He made a school relevant. He delivered on a promise.
I think there's a lot of good points here. First, let's talk about what a sellout is. Okay, here's the dictionary definition. A person who betrays a cause, organization, or the like. A traitor, informal. A person who compromises his or her personal values, integrity, talent, for money or personal advancement. It all depends on what you think Deion's mission was. Now, what I had told you before, and I can do my victory lap as much as I want, all these people came out of, you don't understand HBCUs. Yes, I do. I understand HBCUs. They're ridiculously and remarkably underfunded. They are ridiculously and remarkably underfunded. And my point was then, as it is now, and it's actually been helped by Deion leaving, is like, please don't tell me that it's the best possible opportunity for a young man is to go to an HBCU over a Florida State or a Georgia. Because of that funding, because of that support, because of all the things that are offered while you're there and after you graduate. And if you want to tell me that the cultural aspect of it is so great, that's awesome. Where's the cultural aspect of it keeping Deion Sanders there? Just not. And we all kind of agree on it. So, again, I'm not actually disagreeing with what LeVar is saying. He said he'd build a program. He said he'd get the attention there. They said they'd win games. They did. And it wasn't like they had guys running afoul and holding up liquor stores. Like, no, he did a very good job at Jackson State. But it we didn't know what he told us was the cause of something different than the cause. The cause was always Deion. It's always Deion, you know? And if you listen to when he talked to his team the first time, I'm coming. He didn't say, we're coming, I'm coming. It's about Deion, which, look, he's been remarkably successful in everything that he's done as a football player. You know, the only thing that failed was that prime prep bullshit, which is why he couldn't get a high major, a real Division I job, is because it was too close to running a prep school that was not really a prep school, and it was making money, and a dude ran off with the money, and it was really ugly. But I called bullshit on Deion's whole, like, people don't understand how important this is culturally. We get it, but culturally doesn't matter to you. Doesn't really matter to Travis Henry came, or is that his name, Travis Henry? I'll look at it. Anyway, he went to play for Deion. Deion only recruited him and took him away because he was going to Florida State. Like, this is very personal to Deion. All of it is about Deion, which, again, is fine. It's why he knows he fits at the college level, but in the pro level. The pro level, it's about those other dudes. The college level, it can be about the head coach. It can work. But Deion's about Deion. He ain't about any cause BS. And if there was an ancillary benefit of him being there, it's that there was attention brought to HBCUs that they have been dramatically underfunded, and people need to understand that it is an option for students and student athletes. But the reason he left is the same reason you shouldn't go there if you have other options. It's because everybody else just has way more money and way more opportunities and a better chance to make it big out of there. That's really the point. That's really the point. Is he a sellout? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But it's very hard to make it in any business if you don't on some level sell out on a level. But like, look, he took money for personal acclaim and fame to leave the cause behind. The cause was HBCUs. And this is not me saying the cause was HBCUs and changing the perception of how important the culture is of that environment to a young man who's playing college football, guy come out of high school football. That's Dion saying. So by his own definition, he is leaving a cause behind for the sake of personal gain. Is he still going to help all the guys? He has a course. Hey, and I think there's a lot of really good lessons that Dion teaches his kids. I don't think he's the world's worst, but if you haven't paid attention, Dion is about Dion. He's been great. Anything he's done in football, but there's no altruism there. Here's Colin Cowherd talking about the Rams.
Take a look at the Rams tonight. They host the Raiders Thursday night football. Less than a year ago, Sean McVay was the coaching toast of the league, leading a parade in Los Angeles and a Super Bowl champ. Today, the Rams are a bottom five team in the league. His offense is unwatchable. Matt Stafford's got countless injuries. They're tied for the longest losing streak or second longest losing streak in the NFL. And this morning, ask yourself, if Aaron Donald retires, and he may, are they now a rebuild job? Baker Mayfield has a chance to start tonight for the Rams at quarterback. He's been in town 24 hours. It's a fairly complex offense with marginal running backs, a bad O-line, and Cooper Kupp is hurt. I'm actually rooting for Baker Mayfield tonight just to stay upright. I'm rooting for his health and his safety. But it is unbelievable. The Rams went all in. The bill is due. Watch them tonight if you can. I like the Raiders to roll. Roll.
Why is it so unbelievable, Colin? This is why you don't go all in. This is why you got to have, this is why you need draft picks. Like, this is the problem. First, going all in does not guarantee that you're going to be successful. Second, you know, they're very, very fortunate they were successful. How would we have looked at it if the Niners defense could actually catch a ball that Matt Stafford threw to them? Right, if they hadn't gotten to a Super Bowl, lost to the Niners, and then this year this happens. It's amazing. So it sounds great to sit on a soundstage or to sit in front of a microphone like I am and tell you that you got to be a go-for-it team. But there's a balance there. It's no different than the Lakers. The Lakers went for it twice. First with Anthony Davis, then with Russell Westbrook. All right, we're going to bring in an MVP, a guy who averaged a triple-double. He's coming back home. It all makes sense. And they're not particularly good. And last year was bad. They make the playoffs. This year, they'll probably make the playoffs. But it's not like the future seems bright for the Lakers. You need those draft picks to replenish talent on your roster. And they don't exist. And they're only getting cap space at the end of the year, not this year. The bill is due. But the lack of accountability for so many people who championed a team going for it is kind of comical. Let's find out who's annoying.
What does the fox say?
Let's find out who's annoying.
And now, it's your annoying.
Jason Stewart, you have found some good sound from some notable athletes who are annoying. Share them with us.
Hey, the Kyler Murray situation has another chapter to it. So just to give you the brief story here, right? Yep. Patrick Peterson, former teammate of Kyler, now Minnesota defensive back, had some very pointed comments about Kyler on a podcast, basically saying Kyler's all about Kyler. It's not about the team. It's about him. Kyler said this in a tweet. This isn't true. You want some weird shit. You got my number. If you really feel like this as a big bro or a mentor, you're supposed to call me and tell me, not drag this out on a podcast. So Kyler was asked about Patrick Peterson reaching out to him, because remember, Peterson said, I did text him. And this is what Kyler said about his response or lack of response.
You understand the position that you're in, what comes with it, what you have to face. Not really new to it. You know, this is something I've been dealing with basically not my whole life, but you know, for the most part of my life, have had to deal with stuff like that. So it doesn't affect me.
He said he texted you.
He probably, yeah, after the fact. Yeah. I mean, hell, what is that going to do? 8-4. I mean, obviously, our season hasn't gone the way we've wanted it to, so it comes a little heavier.
So he's asked about the text message from Peterson, and as you just heard him, it was after the fact, what is that going to do? Well, you specifically said in the tweet, you have my number, reach out to me. And then he does reach out to you, and you don't respond to him, which kind of proves why he didn't reach out to you in the first place. Kyler Murray, for like the 14th time this season, you're annoying.
Okay, can I back Kyler Murray on something here, on what he's saying, though?
Oh, please.
He's like, look, dude, if you really felt that way, if I was getting that way, why don't you, you know, you're looking out for me. Why don't you look out for me and how I'm acting? Now, the other side to it is, how many friends do you actually have that could be like, hey, dude, you were an asshole today at work, and you need to apologize to people? Like, again, that's a real good friend, just not a lot of those real friends exist. You know?
I just have a feeling Kyler ghosts a lot of people. I just have a feeling. So that would be a reason why Patrick probably thought it wasn't even an avenue to go down. But yeah, I have an issue with people who don't get back on text messages. But anyways, Deshaun Watson.
Your problem is, let's just be honest, dude. You're not on fucking iCloud, so you don't have a red receipt.
Don't do the Android thing on me. Let's not get
the Android thing sucks.
A lot of people have Androids.
Yeah, and a lot of people are idiots that have fucking Androids. Come on, dude. We all have iPhones, and you're like, well, you didn't even respond to my text. I read your text. I got it. I have to give you the thumbs up? I hate the fucking thumbs up.
Oh, man. Thumbs up would be wonderful. Yeah, thumbs up in situations.
Okay.
Got it. 100%. Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, you know what? If you're on your iCloud, I'd have a red receipt for you. You'd be like, oh, he read it. Cool.
Like at 50 years old, I can't start doing eye stuff. I've stayed away from eye stuff.
Once you're in, you're in.
No, you're
right. You're like, I'd really like to get a Motorola flip phone, but that would mean I'd lose everything in the cloud. it's interesting. Like I changed credit cards, so my iTunes.
That's right.
I could have gotten out of iTunes, and then my son's like, Dad, where's all my music? So all my music, because we. His cell phone's a mess, and we took his music. It was getting to the point where, like, dude, it's too much. Too much. The language is just too much. And so now he's only really allowed to music on my phone when he's in the car with me, or he'll put on headphones or whatever. But I almost got out of the iCloud business like a month ago. I was like, man, I'm going to do it. And I was like, I'm going to lose everything that's in that cloud, which is probably not what really takes place. Like, the cloud doesn't just go away. But that's how I envisioned it. Okay, who else we got that's annoying? Deshaun Watson, right? What did Deshaun Watson do that's annoying?
So he was asked yesterday to kind of describe why there were struggles offensively in his first game in nearly, two seasons or whatever it was.
Because I was able to get the feel of the game and the speed of the game and how defenses, you know, adjust, how we going to be able to adjust at the same time. You know, it's my first time in a lot of action with Kevin. So, you know, he's got to feel how I feel. I got to feel how he feel. And we got to be able to, you know, work on the same page and see the same thing through the same lenses.
Now, I don't know if you heard what I heard, but I went back to the quote, and he uses the word feel. Five times in
you are
15
terrible.
Seconds. Yeah. If you're Deshaun Watson and you've settled with 20 plus women over, you know, them having to feel your penis, and then you have a couple outstanding, civil lawsuits against you for that same accusation, you shouldn't use the word feel like five times in a 15 second bite. And I think he's trolling us. What was that one movie where they kept saying a word? There were two cops, and they would pull people over, and they just kept saying a word to make each other laugh. John, you know what I'm thinking? What I'm talking about?
It wasn't super bad, was it?
It was like Super Trooper.
Super Trooper. Okay.
And they kept saying a word just to fuck with the people and laugh at each other. I think Deshaun Watson and his handlers are laughing. He uses the word feel.
I think feel is incredibly important in sport.
It is.
I think you're the only one who thinks that. I think you're the only one who thinks that. All right, what did Draymond Green say?
He came out last week and said that LeBron is better than Michael Jordan, and then he clarified why.
Bron started in 03. By 2005, Bron was the best player in the NBA. In 2020, he was still the best player in the NBA. He was the best player in the NBA no matter what the game did. The game went from two slugs, like slow big men, to like a stretch four big man, to like back to two big men, to like no big man.
You out there playing the bona fide.
And he's been the best no matter what. When you look at the teams that Bron has carried to championship or carried to the finals, MJ didn't beat the greatest team ever assembled, nor did he run up against the greatest team ever assembled every year. You look at the skill set that Bron has. There's nobody that has ever played the game of basketball that can do what LeBron James does on a basketball court. Nobody. We all want to be like Mike.
So I'm of the school that if you think LeBron's better than Michael Jordan, then you're either lying or being dishonest in some way. So you're annoying for saying that. But the reason why LeBron's better than MJ, one of them, is because MJ never beat the Warriors of 2017. That Michael Jordan never beat that team.
Yeah, here's the thing. That Warriors team was not the greatest team ever assembled.
Exactly.
Right? He didn't, let's just cut through some stupid shit that people fucking say that annoys the fucking shit out of me, okay? Yes, he got a team of misfits to the finals in the Eastern Conference with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Do you know who else did? Allen Iverson did. Dwight Howard did. Remember Dwight Howard did with the Orlando Magic? Why? Because the fucking East sucked. It sucked for 20 years. And there were lots of random teams that popped up in the NBA Finals. That's just the reality to it. The second part is, when he joined the Heat, it was a super team. And it made it so that the East was completely non-competitive. It wasn't just that he joined up with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. It was that he took Chris Bosh from another Eastern Conference team. It was like a 50-win team. And Dwayne Wade was on the Heat, and they won a championship. So there's no competition at all in the East. And when they lost to the Spurs, although all those guys are Hall of Famers, again, this is the same thing. Like, people always say this about the Warriors. Like, oh, well, look at who the guys they got. So you mean to tell me you would take Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, Kawhi at that point in his career, and Tim Duncan over LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh and their crew, right? Oh, wait, what? Yeah, he had a super team, and he lost two of the four NBA finals that he was in. And one of the ones he won, he was great in Game 7, he was not in Game 6, and they were dead to rights beaten, and Ray Allen hit the three. I'm not sitting here defaming LeBron James. I'm telling the absolute truth. And to the next person who says, oh, Scottie didn't win anything Michael didn't win anything without Scottie Pippen. It's technically true. Okay? You could also say that LeBron didn't win a title until he had Ray Allen. And he had Ray Allen in year two there. Ray Allen, right? Or he didn't have one until he won Chris Bosh or Dwayne Wade. He never won shit before that. You know, we could do the exact same song and dance if you would like. And the fact is that one of the reasons they would lose to the Pistons was because Scottie Pippen was a pussy. That's why. Okay? He was seen as soft. I'm not making this up. It's in the Jordan documentary some. They inflated Scott. Like the misconception perception of that documentary and what it actually said about Scottie Pippen is laughable. Because Jordan said, best teammate ever. They made him out to be some world beater, best player. He was never the fucking best player in the league. Ever. Not once. And the reason they kept losing the Pistons was he had no help. And he wasn't willing to share the ball because everybody knew Scotty was soft. Scotty got tougher. They got better. Put in a better system. Won six titles. Didn't lose in the finals. You're allowed to say, I think LeBron's better. And LeBron does things that Jordan didn't do. Jordan did things LeBron couldn't do. Jordan, without the help of a three-point shot, averaged 37 points a game in a regular season. He was first-team all-defense team like a decade long. He was a great player. They're different. But this idea of no one could do what Jordan could do. No one could do what Magic could do, including LeBron. That's why they're the greats of all time. 3, 2, 1. All right, the pick of the day comes from L.A., where L.A.'s real team, the Raiders, come back from Vegas to take on the Rams, one of L.A.'s fake teams, right? Battle for L.A., if you will. And the Raiders will be a home team. 75-80% Raider fans. One, because they've been winning, and two, well, it's because LA is more of a Raider town. That said, The Raiders are 7.5-point favorites in L.A. against the Rams, who might or might not play Baker Mayfield, who just got to town. I love the Raiders. But I also like the under. It's at 42.5. It ain't like the Raiders are going to run away and hide and throw up 30. You know, 30. It's at 42.5 means like it would have to be 30-14. Like, do we really think the Rams are going to score 14 points? I don't. And I don't think the Raiders are going to score that many points either. So give me the Raiders and the under. That's it for In the Bonus. I'm Doug Gottlieb. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Fox Sports Radio.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.